Mr. Dean had posed a question regarding AG1, that the examples Ms. Jarrow had on the screen would be conditional use on AG1. And during the break, I was thinking about this. 2, 3, 4 years ago, Mr. Dawes in Scott Valley was doing some boundary line adjustment, lot splitting, and we had the discussion. It was zoned AG1. Anybody involved in agriculture knew darn well most of that was not AG1, it was AG2. So we have a process currently in place that I think could stay. If somebody has a parcel that is AG1, but there is a portion of it that is truly not AG1 due to productivity, there's nothing preventing them from coming in and rezoning a portion of that parcel to AG2, where these accessory uses that we have discussed would be allowed by right. They would have the choice, either A, come in and get a use permit to do that use, or rezone it to AG2 where it would be allowed by right. Is that not a...
Yeah, within the current Wilmington Ag rules that I mentioned, for those uses on the 5 acres or 5%, whichever is least amount of ground, requires a use permit.
So the trigger is the Williamson Act,
Yeah. Not
the zone.
To be compatible with. I'm just looking
okay. To
make sure that we're compatible with the EG1 ground with what we have in the Williamson Act rules as far as additional uses that could be done on it.
Okay, so let me throw the proverbial...
A wedding venue, for example.
Okay, well let me throw the proverbial monkey wrench into it. There's current legislation being drafted in Sacramento that is potentially, if it goes through, going to modify Williamson Act language on what is allowable, specifically dealing with solar and a couple other items, if I remember correct. I was listening to the committee hearing here a week or two ago. That's going to potentially impact what counties allow. Basically, it's the Williamson Act. It will potentially be signed by the governor. There are going to be changes made. What I'm hearing, under the current act, if it is less than 5% of the acres or 5 acres, whichever smaller, it's okay to do, but must have a use permit if it's on AG1 or simply needs a use permit because it is Williamson. That's what I'm trying to delineate.
It's built in to require a use permit to do manufacturing, processing, wedding venue, whatever.
If it's on Williamson.
Yes.
So the Williamson Act itself at the state level triggers the requirement of the permit.
Well, in a sense, but the Board of Supervisors have control of the Williamson Act rules and adjust it, they can determine what they were. And recently, before the board, that 5%, 5 acre conversation was built into the rules. So I don't know what effect the state regs will have now, but there may be some things, some hinges on the current Wilmington Act. However, you know, the board will still have control over the guidelines or the rules as they're developed for 60 counties specifically.
Okay, so in theory, hypothetically, if the Planning Commission and the supervisors come to agreement that if you have AG1, if you have AG2 land, whether it's under Williamson or not, by right, these activities are considered accessory. You do not need a use permit for them. It can be performed on the land as long as we put in guide wires. It's not over 5 acres or 5%, whichever is less. By right, boom, you can do it. And on AG1, it could be allowed by permit, whether it's Williamson Act or not. If that happened hypothetically, then the supervisors would have to take a second action on the Williamson rules, and they would modify those so that they're in compliance with the zoning. Is that what I'm hearing then?
I think really the question is whether or not it's worth moving forward to allow these uses outright on AG1, specifically, just to streamline things and get away from the use permit conversation, as we're trying to do with other things, right? So understand AG2, no brainer, boom. So the thing to entertain would be basically stripping the conditional use permit process from the AG1 for that small portion of land.
I wouldn't be opposed to that, because there's going to be a lot of AG1 that's going to become AG2 as soon as we lose the water. It makes sense.
Question through the chair. I have a friend that's in agriculture in the valley. This Williamson Act thing is in limbo. They don't know which way it's going to go. Is it?
No.
Is there a deal already?
The county has the Williamson.
I know that, but I mean, what's happening in Sacramento? They're trying to modify it, are they not?
They're increasing allowable. The legislation being proposed right now is to allow solar as an allowable use on Williamson Act land. That's what the legislation says.
Okay.
Solar for sale. Not solar for personal use.
Yes.
Solar for sale.
Yeah, I
am. Sure, you can't sell it.
Correct.
No, so the girl won't buy it.
Correct.
That's right. But anyway, I heard that legislation may or may not go. I guess it's going to go now. Is that your opinion?
50-50.
That's what they said. So they don't know exactly if that's going to be allowed or not. Because they're concerned, the fellow I talked to, that putting the solar there, can you farm under the solar? Can you, if it's on AG1 land, can you use it to raise something under the solar panels? That was what he was telling me.
Mushroom? I don't know what that
means. It depends how it's done, but it's not going to impact us for the reason Mr. Hart just said.
Yeah.
Pacific Corp won't buy solar power
right now.
Period.
Yeah, well, I'm concerned about, the residents of this state. But anyway,
I just
thank
have
you, sir.
Question. All these changes will go in a resolution or something and go before the Board of Supervisors, correct, to approve?
It'll come back to us like the safety element is today for a second review, and then we move it on, and then it goes to them.
Yeah. Yep.
I hope this isn't all the work we're doing. It's not for the supervisors to bring it back.
No, so this will inform the draft zoning code update. So the discussion we're having will implement it, in some way or fashion within the draft zoning code, which will go before you all again to further discuss.
I have mentioned to staff, when this thing push comes to shove, I want a joint meeting so that we don't go through all this stuff, send it to them, and they're going to send it back to us, because that's going to pee me off.
Good luck.
Okay, so have we, anything else on 6?
Yeah, I'll go back here under use permits required under AG2 and AG1. Mm-hmm. Feedlots, you have to have a use permit. I can bet you there's at least 100 businesses out here. You got feedlots. What's the definition of a feedlot?
Nope.
I'm going to go right back to CAFO requirements and find out what the feeding operations. Number of head, number of days, water quality standards, all of that. Is that incorporated in this?
So our current feedlot definition in the zoning code reads commercial feedlot. means a relatively small, confined land area, structure, pen, or corral, wherein cattle, horses, sheep, goats, or swine are maintained in close quarters for the exclusive purpose of fattening such livestock or holding temporarily for shipment to market.
Length of time. What's the length of time? One day?
Right, not defined.
No, you'd have not year round.
And also, what is relatively small?
Well, that's what I'm saying. There is so much gray area.
I don't know.
Open interpretation here as to what is and isn't. So whoever may have a 50 steers in a feedlot for a week before they get shipped, and somebody complains,
yep.
And then you create a legal landmine for them.
Yep.
And that's why I said
that's
what I said
away.
Earlier.
Yep.
Yeah.
That should be allowed by right, as unless they're doing something that's triggering the North Coast Board to come in
right.
for a special WDR,
right.
that the county should not require a permit for that. That is not a hoop we want our folks going through.
Mm-hmm. They're every cow operation out here.
Yeah. Well, I've got multiple feedlots on our place. I feed out 60 lambs for another 45 days. That is, they're being fattened. Same thing with steers.
You feed that you don't make a nickel on.
That's on the safety element. But no, I'm in a complete agreement with you. Those counties should not require a permit on that. Unless it's triggering water quality WDR, by right, it should be allowed.
What do we have, two dairies out?
Yeah. Two and a half.
Two and a half, all right. Is that a feedlot?
Yeah.
So
but they have their permits through the North Coast.
Right. You got one on Monarchy Road out there, right?
That's the half.
Oh.
They're not shipping out multiple truckloads of milk every several times a week. Okay, so are we done with six then? Okay, seven. Defining the accessory use, this is incidental to single family dwellings or small farming. Is this what Mr. Dean, you were brought up with the rural residential and how we have some RR that it's zoned RR 2.5 or RR 510, but the parcel itself is over 100 acres?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Could you explain your thought to the full commission to guide this one?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So within the county, with the rural residential zoning, the parcel size difference is massive. We have 2.5 acre parcels, such as Mount Shasta Vista subdivision, up to 600 acre parcels with the same zoning, the same requirements. And I would propose thought to tier that. Rural residential zoning, maybe increase it, RR5, RR6, whatever, to allow additional uses on the large pieces of rural residential zoning lands.
And when you're saying additional uses, for example, under RR2.5, you have a limit as to how many chickens, cattle, sheep, goats you can have on the property, but if we tiered it, and there was an RR40, then your number of chickens or livestock or whatnot, your animal units, this is the one thing that I had written down. Instead of using numbers of species, simply go AUMs. It's a generally accepted term, an animal unit month, whether and it's based on weight and size. You have 5 sheep equals 1 AUM. We have a chart in agriculture that defines an AUM. So we can talk AUMs per zoning tier. And I wouldn't be opposed to that. I guess the question I have, isn't there incentive if you have 120 acres that's RR and you want to do a farm or a ranch, isn't there incentive to just get it rezoned AG1 or 2? It's a
Well, there should be, right? Because as staff, like, our thoughts regarding just in general rural residential ag, the intent of that should be, you know, you have larger lots, your 5, 10, 15 acres, maybe hobby farms, so you can have a little bit of ag or those things that wouldn't be allowed in a Res 2 zoning district, right? But yeah, the nexus needs to be defined because, again, as Rick mentioned, we have a ton of ag operations or commercial ag operations. You have hundreds of acres under RR. You know, that should naturally move into or be rezoned into AG2 or something like that.
I would urge caution in that I don't know that I'd have a lot of tiers. I think Res 2 and a Res 40 have two.
Right.
Because otherwise, what's to prevent somebody from coming in who has 120 acres rural residential and one parcel and creating four RR40s, and then they have the limits of RR40 on all four parcels. They go from one to four.
160.
Or 60, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It would depend on the advantage for the uses.
Mm-hmm.
So right now, all of them are based on this.
Yeah.
Do we have here? And the other thing I would point out is, from our perspective, we'd like to see this shored up so that the language specifically requires a single family dwelling unit prior to any of those uses being allowed. Whatever that may be or change to.
Mm-hmm.
So on B, the exceptions, I would strike, this is me personally, I would remove rabbit, goat, horse, chicken / poultry, and stables. I would remove those five at being, if we're going on a tier, it would be of the RR40 tier. Those should be allowed.
Mm-hmm.
It makes sense. I agree they are there for an RR2. That makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
But if we're looking at potentially a tier, we go R2 versus R40. R40, I would say those five should be allowed.
Mm-hmm. We also don't have a definition of small acreage farming. What? Within our code.
I is in the beholder on that one.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you take a look at strawberries. Mm-hmm. You can grow a lot of strawberries worth a lot of money on a little bit of land.
Mm-hmm.
Is that small farming? Are we talking right. small based on acreage or small based on revenue?
Some of these uses, as you mentioned, don't make sense, right? Because you can have a 2.5 acre RR zone land and have a dairy.
With a permit.
And no home.
Without a permit.
No, this is except.
Except.
Except, no.
Those
no,
are all sorry. Permitted
yeah.
uses.
Except.
Yes.
So those are already not there.
Mm-hmm.
So nothing commercial, which makes sense. Or rodeos.
Okay. These are all the exceptions. Mm-hmm. The only thing that's allowed.
So you can potentially allow those on a 40-acre or larger.
Mm-hmm.
The five that I mentioned.
Yeah.
And really, not to confuse the issue, if somebody wanted to have milk goats and milk sheep for sheep milk and goat milk, technically those are commercial dairies.
Mm-hmm.
I could see those being allowed on 40 acres easily.
Mm-hmm.
what I think we're talking about here is a bovine dairy on 40 acres. That's pushing it. I think, yeah, definitely need to come in and talk to us, get a use permit,
okay,
size, scope, scale on rural residential. But for goats and sheep, that's becoming a real popular thing. And I don't think that should be a permitted use on an R40.
Okay.
So just to make sure you guys are aware, these are exceptions to the district under the permitted uses. However, under the conditionally permitted uses for the same district, it only has raising of fur-bearing animals and poultry. So, you know.
I just clarified that for you guys.
Well,
we
just
pull the five out,
right,
and make them allowable by right on R40.
Right. So, but if you're raising fur-bearing animals, are you raising them for the fur? Is that inferred by that statement, like the rabbits or you know, foxes?
Rabbits or meat?
Well, I mean, that's the question. Which one are you? Are you wanting to?
Oh.
Are you raising them for the fur or the meat, or do we care?
Don't care.
I think this is back in the days when they had meat farms.
Yeah, don't care. It's a rabbit. I don't care if you're selling the meat or selling the fur on a rabbit. I do have issue with predators, i.e. fox. No, we don't need to be raising more fox. Any other questions on rural residential?
No. Just wanted to bring out the issues we have with that for thought, basically.
Mm-hmm.
Now the
thing is the greenhouses in plural.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So here's a clarification question. The following uses shall be permitted. Should that say shall be allowed? Because when I see the word permitted,
right,
that tells me I need to come in and see you guys for a permit.
Yeah, good idea.
It should be the following uses shall be allowed, because then that second item down there, except, there's an exception. Those need to be permitted.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
That's probably throughout the entire
stuff.
Yes.
Because we're talking what is allowed by right,
right,
what do you need a permit to do? Other questions on number 6? No? Okay. Number 7. This was dealing with number 7.
Yes.
Were there additional questions dealing with the dwellings?
That's more, the intent was number 8, question number 8, the not per se the residential zoning districts, because obviously like res 1, 2, 3, there needs to be a single, you know, a residence on place, in place, but more geared towards our rural residential ag zoning district, because going back to question 7 where it states accessory uses and buildings normally incidental to single family dwellings or farming, right? So that leaves a lot of gray area up to interpretation. It's not, you know, our view, it's not clear in our code that there needs to be a single family home in place for any other use to occur, whether it be small acreage farming, greenhouses, you know, things of that nature. So we are curious to know your thoughts related to the RR zoning districts. Should we require that there is a single family home or a residential unit placed before other uses are considered?
Personally, I would say yes. You would be failing as an animal husbandry person or a farmer to not have contact with that for which you are growing, especially the livestock. Now the farming end of it, maybe I'm a little more open to that. If there's an undeveloped 80 acres that's zoned rural residential, but it has water and the ability to grow grain or something, do I think there needs to be a house on that in order to farm it? No. I would say if you're going to have livestock, though, it should be a requirement. It's unresponsible to be raising livestock of any kind and not be present, with the exception, obviously, you know, with cattle, we run them in the range, but we're going out there and checking on them. But in a RR setting, I would think you would want to have to require at least one livable dwelling on the parcel. But I don't know for the farming aspect.
Your Honor, for this, you get those situations where you might have two parcels, right? You might have your home on parcel one,
right,
RR, and then the other parcel might be undeveloped, but it's down the street or whatnot. So would we require that second parcel to also have a home in order for you to have these uses? I think that's the issue we run into. Right, you have your animals and the next parcel over, you know, but your house is right next door.
I'd say if they're contiguous, not an issue. The issue is if they're not contiguous.
Just additional thought for that. So properties can't change hands. Also, just the definition, rural residential. Residential is the primary, I think the premise of it is you're going to have a residence,
well,
and you're going to have additional uses that you can have in a rural setting.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So to get away from the house requirement on residential, I think is going against the definition, mm-hmm, essentially.
No, I agree, and that's why I said, can't you just come in and rezone it AG1, AG2?
Right.
Yes.
Because that makes the most sense, right? If you have someone that's conducting ag on 80 acres or RR, that should just be AG2. Right?
And so with what you just said, forget what I said previously. I agree with you now that it's framed that way. If it's RR, must have a dwelling to have do the other uses. If you don't want to put a house on it, you rezone it to AG1 or 2.
Okay. Yeah.
Then you don't have that restriction.
Yep.
Okay. Mr. Beal.
Are we going to take a break for lunch, or are you going to?
I think we're going to have to, because we have a safety element to go through too. So I was hoping we could get through 6, 7, 8, and then I'll take a poll of those present.
Okay, good.
Through the chair.
Yes.
There was a comment earlier regarding the word permitted, and we actually do have a definition of permitted use, and it's any use allowed in a zoning district. So it does mirror the language that you were
And so I'm going to strongly encourage mm-hmm. you to change the word permitted to allowable. And we simply have a definition of what is allowable. Allowable use means any use allowed in a zoning district and subject to the restrictions applicable to such zoning district.
Yeah.
Eliminate the potential confusion and saying that, yes, permit is the same as allow. I get the thesaurus. It's a thesaurus. It's a synonym in some cases, but when we're dealing with zoning, permit has its own clear definition in my mind. Before we move on to this, number 8, something came to mind when we were talking about allowable mobile homes, second dwelling, etc. on RR. The case, we had a question a year or two ago on AG1, AG2, and I refreshed my memory, an individual was hiring from outside the area employees to come in and help operate the farm.
Mm-hmm.
And we do have, correct me if I'm wrong, a simple process for allowing farm worker housing on AG1, AG2 land, or just AG2, to bring in a mobile home or to build a bunkhouse. Do we have a simple?
Farm labor housing is allowed outright in both AG1 and AG2.
Okay.
on the local side. I know there's, you know, potentially HCs.
We were talking about this and that.
Yep, it's allowed outright.
Okay. Number eight then. Should a home be required on in our residential zoning prior to allowing, and we just answered that.
Yep.
Commission, yes, we all agree, yes?
Yes.
Okay. So we're done with 6, 7, and 8.
Mm-hmm.
That leaves us with 3, 4, 5, and 9.
Mm-hmm.
What is the feeling of staff and commission? Do you want to take a break now for lunch, or do you want to chew up one more of these before we do?
Call it. It's okay with me, whatever you want to do. Let's do it.
Mr. Hart, chew up another one?
Yeah.
We'll keep going until 12?
Well, we had some folks in here earlier.
Yes.
And there's a lot of uses going on out there that don't have homes on those 1 acre lots. So, how do you tackle that? How does the county tackle that?
Boy.
You don't.
Let me add
We address and we cite illegal camping.
So here's the question I have. As a planning commissioner, one of our responsibilities is to assess projects, zoning, etc. from the view, is it safe from a public health and safety parameter? That's all I'm looking at right now. And there are areas in our county that are being habitated in some instances with a fairly high density, with, as was shared by a speaker, no reliable source of water. I don't care if the water's drinkable or not, no water for fire. And from a public health and safety aspect, as a planning commissioner, I have a real hard time allowing development or use of property where lives are at risk without a reliable source of water, period. End statement.
But it's not just there. I got a right across the road in the south boundary of the ranch. Somebody's gone in on a lot and they're just squatting on it. There's numerous ones out there like that, and there's no public health and safety standards there whatsoever. But again, how does the county, they haven't got the resources to deal with that.
Right.
Both legally and physically and financially.
I guess from a county aspect, it's not an allowable use.
No.
And it never was an allowable use.
Correct.
And I have a real hard time making a decision here that all of a sudden says, oh yeah, we'll allow that even though it doesn't meet these parameters. We can't do that.
We are doing it.
Okay, through the chair. The question that's going to be risen, in my opinion, is what are the parameters? What are the requirements for water for design? And this is frustrating for me, because I don't like some of the stuff that's going on here, but how do we take care of it? Do we have the financial means to take care of it, blah, blah, blah. So who's going to determine what's the word I'm looking for here? What is correct or legal?
Because the solution...
How do we do that?
There is a solution to their problem.
to their problem.
But,
yeah.
But whether or not it is legally can be done.
Thank you.
If they found a reliable water source real nearby, they could trench pipe and they could plumb parcels. But the legal question is, can that water be transported to a parcel not associated with water right? And legally right now, you can't.
That's the State Water Board's control, and they won't enforce that. So how do they expect the county to enforce stuff?
I'm
just looking at the bigger, broader picture of private property in the county, what you can and can't do with it. I don't care how it's zoned. How do we handle this equitably and fair to all private landowners, so that they can enjoy the property they bought and paid for?
Yeah. It becomes grandfathered in, though, these conditions that they're operating on. We're going to allow it.
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Do you know about Herd's Gulch?
Oh, I'm very familiar
so
with
what happened there. You know what happened there.
Well, I guess what
I'm was more convenient to allow it than
here that puts a restriction on somebody that they didn't have before, and somebody files a complaint and the county has to go out here and spend resources to deal with it when we're creating a problem maybe it's not really a problem. There's stuff that needs to be corrected, but boy.
Yeah.
I guess that's a political landmine.
It's a political landmine
field that the supervisors have to deal with. How do you want to approach that?
The reality is it's a problematic situation.
Yes.
We have development rules in place both at the county level and at the state level. Mm-hmm. If you're going to develop a land with a single family dwelling, you're required to have a permanent potable water supply.
Right.
In sufficient quantity and quality to support that use. An on-site review for sewage disposal. So that's approved, and we can issue a permit to drill a well. Drill the well, the well is satisfactory to support a household, and we can move forward to a building permit. All of that's in place by law, plumbing code, health and safety, etc. What becomes problematic is enforcement. In addition to that, we have a camping ordinance, allows a person to camp on their own property for 30 days out of the year, fully self-contained, et cetera, et cetera. All those conditions are in violation for the most part throughout the county. It's just not associated with that particular area, but we deal with that everywhere and extremely difficult to enforce.
It's impossible to enforce.
Because, dealing with people of no means, little means, potential attitude, right? So code enforcement will address, have a conversation. This is what you need to do to comply. If they don't get any traction with that, they're cited. Public nuisance violation is $100, basically. Given time, if they're still don't go in compliance, there's a second tier of fines, which doubles the first tier. Under the third tier, we've exhausted all of our resources, and that case will go to county council, which at time does not have the resources to deal with. It hasn't historically moved at all. So, it's.
I mean, if you go back in time, that restriction was done for planning so that people built where they had water and had sewer, period. And it protected open space. When that, we have a couple of those locations in this county, were quote unquote subdivided, the Planning Commission at that time should be shot. Never should have been subdivided. Never should have been allowed unless they could prove that each parcel, A, had ability for sewer, and B, had a water source.
Those got passed before there was county general plan.
That's right. Bingo.
Before any of these standards were in place.
Bingo.
So they're like...
The parcels had been created.
Right, so we're stuck with...
They're non-conforming.
Right.
The problem is now we have an activity that is not allowed on a non-conforming parcel. And that may be what you were trying to say.
And the state of California dropped the ball. When this first started out there, they should have come in there with support rather than complying with it. Remember the group that came here?
Yeah.
And the county council at that time was having a
fit. They sat right back there and threatened us all with lawsuits.
Well, and did sue some of us.
Yeah. Okay, I have a question. If you get a manufactured home as compared to what we used to call stick built, is there any difference in the permit process?
Yeah. Yes, there is.
Foundation, you have to have a foundation.
Manufactured home is much simpler. It's already pre-engineered. The review process, we really don't have a plan check for that structure.
Okay.
Aside from foundation, it's exempt from solar. It's exempt from sprinklers inside the house. Those are the primary differences.
But it still needs sewer and it still needs water.
Yeah, okay, I understand that. But see if I can phrase this correctly. That's all right, I'll pass until I get it straight in my head. But my concern is if it has to meet the same requirements. So it's no longer, a friend of mine when I was in high school, got out of the military, he had bought a mobile home. Back then, if you left the tires on it and put blocks under it, it was not taxed, and all you paid was a license fee.
No, we're still taxed on it, because I have one that was put in 1971, and I'm still taxed on it, but it is at a different rate. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
we're still taxing.
I'm talking 1961, 2, 3, somewhere in there. But anyway, so, and then that all changed. Did they not? I mean, you have to pay taxes, period, now. Is that correct?
Well, our mobile home got put in 67, and it still has the tires on it. If you pull the siding away from the bottom, the tires are still on it, and it's on blocks. But
I think you have siding, too, did you not?
Yep. But it's on blocks, it's plumbed, and it has its own septic.
Yeah.
But we are taxed on that as a dwelling.
Oh, you are?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And it was a one-time registration to the California DMV.
Right.
And it was registered as a mobile home, one-time paid, $50.
Okay. Good.
And it still has a license plate on it.
I don't know if this one does. They long since moved.
But that doesn't go back to address the comment.
No.
There is no, with what we are doing with zoning, changing zoning is not going to change that situation.
Exactly.
Unless we went where I will not go to allow activities that require water for public health and safety to occur without water, period. A reliable source. I can't in good conscience say, oh yeah, build a store, start doing farmers markets, start doing this, when you're relying on water storage tanks. I cannot in good conscience go that way. I think we would be doing the county and those people a disservice. All it would take is one incident that killed one or more of them. Because of an allowed use all of a sudden, it comes back on us. It'd be just like, I can't. I've got a problem going down that path. But that's not a solution to the problem. One of them needs to find water and then turn it into a co-op.
Well, that's why I asked if there was any, through the chair, if there was any reliable source anywhere near their property.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Just getting it there.
That's it.
Legal.
Okay. That's the thing. Okay. But is there a process, just hypothetically, where Mr. whatever his name was, built a home, because of the water source that he made an agreement with, who owns the water, first of all? If it's county, state, whatever, federal, it's not private, not... Is there an avenue for them to get water to their property legally?
Do they do it now?
Truck it.
No. Tony's talking piped.
Pipe. No. I talk the requirements for, water, bathroom, blah, blah, showers, the whole nine yards, like you require in a, a rural residential home.
Well, they say currently it requires a permanent potable water supply.
Permanent.
By a drilled well, sufficient, or municipality supplies the water.
Okay, so
Shastina.
Yeah, a surface creek that's good water would not be allowed.
Nope. It could be. If you have riparian right to a stream and put in treatment for bacteriological and et cetera.
Well, you have to put in a treatment for the
city of Etna.
Yeah.
Oh, Etna Creek.
Yeah.
Prime example.
Yeah.
We.
And private residents.
Thank you.
Any further discussion on this topic before we go back to numbers?
Me too.
Okay. So then we have 20 minutes. Ms. Lang, do you believe number 3 could be addressed in 20 minutes?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay. So let's take a bite off of uses allowed in industrial zoning districts. What are the key, because we don't have a special color code for this one either, if I remember right.
Right, I don't.
What are our incompatibility, our yellow red flags on this one?
Well, warehousing, I think there needs to be some language that needs to be tightened regarding that. In the realm of industrial zoning, we get two questions really frequently. For uses that are sometimes allowed, sometimes not. So solar farms, we get calls all the time about where can I put a solar farm. Within our heavy industrial zoning district, we have power generation plants, all energy sources, including biomass. That's really the only thing somewhat similar that we can use as a nexus, but it's not really called out anywhere. We receive a lot of phone calls about property owners that own AG2 land wanting to, place a solar farm on the property. Another issue is contractors' yards. We get calls about that, it seems like weekly. Should that only be allowed in industrial zoning districts? Should we make a pathway for a use permit in commercial zoning districts? Those are some elements related to industrially zoned uses that we occur with. Rachel, I don't know if you have any instances of certain uses that aren't really called out that we receive, requests for. We can think off the top of your head.
I would say the ones that you mentioned are the top ones. I would say that the contractors' yards that I have highlighted, a lot of contractors would love to do this in districts that are commercially zoned instead of industrial zoned. However, this is the only place that it's listed. It's in the light industrial district, which we don't have very much of. So they're faced with either not having a contractor's yard or potentially attempting a rezone of a property into this zoning district in order to have a contractor's yard.
How much equipment qualifies for a contractor's yard?
So if you take a look here,
we just allowed one.
Let me zoom in a little bit more.
In the last year, out Overland, wasn't it?
Oh, custom crushing?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And that was a rezone.
Yep. And that was too heavy industrial with a use permit for that particular use.
Right.
Yeah, and it might be a scaling question too, right? Small contractors' yards maybe in some places make sense versus a larger, I don't know.
Well, yeah, there's...
well, you have everything from a contractor who does interstates and highways
mm-hmm.
to Andrew Brown Construction
right.
to Shasta RCD doing screen refabs, etc., that CDFW doesn't do anymore, or their form boards for this, that, or the other,
mm-hmm.
storing an excavator and a backhoe.
Mm-hmm.
We had a contractor who just owns his own landscaping business, and because landscaping is listed here, he could not be in the zoning district that he wanted. And he was just like a mow and blow type of guy, but he
right.
has to be in an industrial district, which maybe is not where it needs to be.
Okay, so let's take it piece by piece. One of the first things that you said, and maybe this is the simplest one, you said people are still seriously asking about doing solar farms
mm-hmm.
when they, do they know PacifiCorp is not buying solar power?
I'm not sure, but it's still something that we get calls about regularly.
Jeff,
yeah.
has been advertised
yeah.
in the Western Lifetime Journal, Capital Press,
and I, yeah.
wanting to, if you got 300 acres more flat ground by a power line, they'll lease your property for 1,000 bucks an acre. I'm sure that's what she's talking about.
And specifically, it's when I've received the calls, at least, it's more all of the ground out in Butte Valley.
That's what they're talking about.
Right. That's.
Okay.
I mean, there's a lot of interest
well,
over there.
So they're a little bit closer to Surprise Valley Electric.
Right.
Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. I was thinking Shasta Sky.
Right. It's mostly
Tule.
Butte Valley.
Okay.
But throughout, we still get calls, yeah.
I think we've had one in, like the weed area,
mm-hmm.
in, but
well,
that's
McLeod,
it.
Remember the guy in McLeod was going to put the solar farm in next to the mill?
On the old mill site.
Old mill
yeah.
site,
yeah,
yeah. never happened. Okay.
So, I mean, does staff not, solar would fit, should something change with PacifiCorp
mm-hmm.
on commercial? Okay, we're just dealing with commercial
okay.
or heavy industrial,
right?
Right. Not commercial.
Okay.
Right, that's a question. So on industrial, I don't have a problem with solar being on industrial land.
No.
It makes sense.
So we have three different industrial districts. Limited,
and that
light,
is the next
heavy.
Question.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we have heavy industrial, right?
Yeah.
Which is the most
intense. Yeah.
The step below heavy industrial is
light
industrial, and then the least intense industry is
limited.
Is this based on size or location?
Audit,
what is the reasoning behind this? Do we know the background?
I don't know. I mean,
so
I don't know.
The uses are very different between
uh-huh.
limited and the other districts. So if you take a look here, you can see these are the permitted or allowed uses in the ML, the limited district. And it seems to be more things that are within a building that don't have a lot of outside the building impact. You're assembling or packaging products, you know, something like that. Although, you know, laboratories potentially could have impact, you know, outside of that district as far as contamination, air or water.
The one that doesn't fit in there is H, a school
mm-hmm.
in an industrial
yeah.
zone parcel. To me, now, here's the question. It says shall be permitted. That means allowed, correct? Allowed by right
yes.
is what we're talking about here.
Yes.
These are not conditional uses.
Right.
Why that trade and vocational, the rest of our schools are in
RR.
RR or CC.
CRCU, right.
Right.
Yeah. Or commercial. Mm-hmm.
Now I get maybe they were talking about training,
right?
Apprenticeship type,
yeah.
you know, the Pfeiffer vacuum up here. Maybe that's what they're looking at, but
so,
that's within a city.
We have a definition of trade school, and it's crafts, trade skills such as dance, business, beautician, barber, radio, and television schools, which a lot of these particular things can be done in the commercial district as a business. So I don't know that requiring that the school to train you for them to be in an industrial district maybe is lines up with what we're thinking should be allowed in that district.
Is all of COS within the Weed City limits?
No, we have some here.
No, it's within city limits.
I believe so. Let me double check.
But I'm talking about down in Weed, mm-hmm. where they've expanded some of the school out beyond the football field and the baseball fields.
It's in the city of Weed.
Yeah. It is. Okay, yeah. Never mind. So looking not applicable. I was just wondering if this may have been in there for COS.
Prior, yeah. Well, and geographically speaking, I don't know of, I have no knowledge of a single zoning district that's limited industrial. I've never seen that, ever.
We have one.
It might be few and far between.
The South Mount Shasta exit.
There's a limited.
We had a project right there. You go back over I-5 on the right-hand mm-hmm. side. And it was light industrial because there was actually a residence there.
Yep.
Plus, and we dealt with that like several years ago.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It was a while ago.
That's better. Thank you.
When we work with applicants, too, we typically, for a lot of the uses, you know, storage facilities, things like that. We'll recommend the rezone to heavy just because it's a wider net, right, of uses from limited, light, and heavy. Because how the heavy industrial district reads is it's everything encompassing all of the industrial districts is allowed outright.
Yeah. So this is what Haley's talking about.
Except activities confined to buildings. Mm-hmm. So they can't be confined in the heavy, but they can be confined in the limited.
Correct. Light. So the light industrial district is the one that requires a lot of fencing. Let me see if I can find an example. So saw shops provided all operations occur within a building. And so you see in a building, this one requires a fence within a building. So all of these uses that say either fencing or building in the heavy industrial district, they do not require either of those, but they are required in the
They're
light.
Allowed, but they're not restricted to in a building.
Correct.
If they're on the heavy.
On the heavy industrial district, yeah. Okay.
Through the chair, who determines whether it's light, medium, or heavy industrial?
The use determines that. We look at what the use is and see where it fits into which district.
Thank you.
And so typically, license. You as staff would have somebody come in mm-hmm. and they have light, they want to do something on light industrial, but what they want to do would require a permit on light, but may not require a permit, would automatically be allowable on medium or heavy. And so staff would say,
yeah.
You'd actually be
That's
wiser what. To do a zone change, then it would be allowable by right, and you guide them down that path.
That's what we typically recommend.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
The other thing that we see a lot of are mini storage mm-hmm. facilities. They, as you can see, it's either in the light or the heavy industrial district. Those are the only two that allow that use. A lot of people want that in the commercial districts.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so let me ask a question. When I think in terms of development of a society, when I hear the term industrial, my mind says it's on the periphery away from the normal day-to-day activities of society.
And smokestacks.
Yes. When I hear the term commercial, I hear more city center. We're talking the retail outlets, businesses, schools, churches, the heart of a community. And residential can be in between or periphery opposite industrial. When I look at our general plan and the maps, zoning maps of how this county was zoned, it doesn't exactly lend itself to encouraging societies to have a heart around city centers with residents and then industry. I see a postage stamp scenario in the unincorporated areas where we will have rural residential right next to heavy industrial. Next parcel over is a CC and they're all along I-5. Grenada is a prime example where you have basically every possible zoning option in our general plan within a half mile by a half mile. You can find something zoned everything. Am I wrong? That's Grenada. And include into that AG1 and AG2 within the same half mile by half mile. So the reason I'm asking that, we're dealing with industry, is there anything in this general plan, and I know this is a monumental task, is anybody looking, or our consultants looking, at our current zoning layout and coming to us with a recommendation, hey, no, we're not as a county going to just automatically change zoning, but looking into the future, 50 years out, 25, 100 years out, when we have individuals come wanting to do a project, that staff can have, hey, ideally, it would be great if this parcel that you just bought was zoned this, so that it's more compatible. Is that occurring?
Yes, so we've instructed the consultant team and to take a look at current zoning districts, where they're located, and if there's any parcels that may lend to be rezoned throughout this process, mostly geared towards the industrially zoned districts, because that can inform the EIR as well, you know, with these rezones. So that's something that we're looking at with this process.
Have they identified any?
We haven't gotten even to that conversation yet, but it's on our scope of work.
Okay.
We've discussed at high level, so it's coming, yeah.
Because a lot of these questions you're asking us is in that vision.
Mm-hmm.
Where is industry?
Mm-hmm.
Where is commercial? Where is residential? And where are they in relation to one another? And Siskiyou County does not lend itself well to compatibility.
Right.
There's a lot of opposition out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So I tried to find it on our online general plan, the current one, but unfortunately the copy that's posted online does not have the text I was thinking of. What it specifically says is it says that while, and I'm paraphrasing here from memory from many years ago, it says while other jurisdictions do exactly what you just mentioned, where you pre-designate areas for industrial or commercial or residential, the County of Siskiyou has chosen to take a different stance and allow each individual parcel to be individually analyzed based off of the general plan to determine if it should be rezoned or not. So there are other jurisdictions, and I recently ran across the City of Chico's, just as an example. They have their zoning and pre-zoning map where they do exactly what you just mentioned, say this is what we think it should be, and then they have the pre-zoning for it. And so potentially that could be something that we could take a look at, but you know, I don't know, you know, what the consultant's involvement with that might be or might not be.
Mm-hmm.
But in the back of my mind, and the reason Grenada popped up with the water issues that we are facing and will be facing, Grenada is a prime example where they're trying to do, you know, a potential groundwater recharge. Well, what do we want Grenada to be 25 years from now? Mm-hmm. Do we want it to be a habitable place that has a couple businesses, gas station, keeps having a school? Or is Grenada going to be one of those locations that basically dies for lack of water? But it comes back to this, what is going to be allowable in certain zones, but also what is the available water? Same discussion we had with the folks here earlier.
What is Grenada's? Well, I saw they put a tank up there.
That's been 15 years ago.
Yeah, that was a long time ago.
The tank went?
Yeah.
So that's a municipal water district?
Yeah.
Yeah, thank you, obviously.
But if the water gets shut off, the available water to go into that
pump out of the ground to put up there to go, yeah,
becomes in question. And all of a sudden, the people that are relying on that water source without the water above, if that goes away, that water tank's empty. Mm-hmm. But that's a reality that Grenada is going to be facing in the next 5 to 10 years.
So,
yep, Montague's same way.
Montague, why Montague? The Shasta River.
They don't have water right off the Shasta.
Nope.
They don't?
Nope.
They don't have any water.
None.
They rely on the district.
Yep. And the district's what's under fire. District loses water, Montague loses its water.
They could have had Fall Creek water if it got together.
Years ago, if you
thank
recall.
Thank Walt Bray for that.
Huh?
Thank Walt Bray for that.
There was a lady that was the president of the, I think it was Montague. Oh,
no, continue.
And she came before us because they wanted, evidently the water right ditch ran through this dude's property, and you have to clean the ditch according to the rules of that district. And he didn't want to clean the ditch. And she told him, you clean the ditch, or we'll clean it and send you the bill. I'll never forget that. And I don't remember the lady's name.
My lunch hour.
Are you done, Tony?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Question for staff. Animal hospitals, pounds, and kennels, are they allowed by right?
In the industrial district, yes. They're...
No, I get that. Are they also allowed in city central or commercial?
It's allowed in Ag 2, I believe.
With a CUP.
I know Ag 2.
Yeah, let's...
With a conditional use.
Yeah.
Are they allowed... It just struck me because it's becoming more popular for small animal vets to be an... Are they? Is it a CU for a RR, or is it even allowable in RR?
So CC allows animal hospitals with a conditional land use permit.
Okay.
That's it. Yeah.
Make a note there. I think those should be allowed
by right.
Small animal. I think.
This one doesn't specify. It just says animal hospitals.
Well, it's not going to be a large animal vet. We aren't going to have any here pretty soon, anyways. So it's basically going to be small animal, but I mean, the similarity between that and hospital.
Yeah.
I don't distinguish between the two.
Yep.
Medical services.
Yep.
But that one struck me, and then the nurseries and greenhouses.
Mm-hmm.
I guess the question comes in, if we're going to allow them in industrial zone, what's the incentive to rezone to AG2?
just the availability of industrial. It's limited.
I guess we potentially could get a larger retail type nursery other than trees and succulents that are maybe doing cut flowers, and maybe it would be more intense. So okay, that would make sense. Okay, never mind. Leave that one.
Yeah, and specifically a nursery is defined as land or a greenhouse used to raise flowers, shrubs, and plants for sale.
But now on AG2, is a greenhouse a CU, or is it allowed? It should be allowed by right on AG2.
It is allowed by right.
On AG2.
On AG2.
Perfect. Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
Through the chair, just for conversation, I think forward looking, should add an additional definition associated with greenhouses. So you have a greenhouse and you have a hoop house. The greenhouse is fully permitted, a structural load, versus a hoop house, which would be more of a temporary type of
seasonal.
Yeah, something. They need to be distinguished in some fashion.
So don't the greenhouses have to meet a specific building requirement?
Yeah, but in our code, everything's a greenhouse.
Right.
The hoop house.
See, a greenhouse is engineered and has foundation. A hoop house is not.
We don't have a definition for a hoop house.
A greenhouse is engineered with the understanding there will be people working under it.
Yes.
The hoop house does not have that necessarily, even though people are working in it. I see what you're saying. So what would your recommendation be? Is that a hoop house is a seasonal temporary structure to aid in the growing of vegetation?
Yeah.
And a greenhouse would be a permanent engineered structure on a foundation?
It's a good start.
The structures that you see for RVs that can be very tall, very long, are those, do you need a permit for them?
They're engineered?
Yeah.
You do.
It's over 120 square feet.
How many do you think are in this town that are not permitted?
Kind of like Connex boxes.
Huh?
Kind of like Connex boxes.
Yeah.
Have to be on an engineered concrete slab and approved by an architect. There's hundreds of them.
Yeah. That are not engineered and not on.
No, there it is. Totally
right.
Be red.
And they've actually made buildings out of them.
So does that.
Yeah, I want to throw it out there, and I think we should do some research with other counties and see how they address it. But,
okay.
A lot of them have restrictions of 400 square feet, etc.
That would be on a hoop?
Yeah.
Okay. Anything further on the industrial?
I'd like to look at Section S, the conversation. Just in that we have a situation where essentially distribution systems are being created. And this isn't really a good fit for that conversation.
Let me confuse it a little bit more.
Yeah.
When I see bottling works, I think any substance that is being taken from a volume in a vat, tank, etc., and being portioned out into a smaller container and sealed. Gin, whiskey, beer, water, I think of the distillery, Denny Bar, the brewery that they just finished building in Fort Jones, that's bottling works.
Yeah.
And it is actually their commercial center for City of Fort Jones.
Yep.
Zoned. But you're probably looking at the second half of that sentence, specifically with water bottling.
more specifically distribution of water from trucks.
From trucks or to trucks?
From trucks to other locations.
Right.
On a commercial level, if you will.
Yeah, and I think the context of this is somewhat springing from the Shasta subdivision. People with large wells filling up water tenders to sell water. Yeah, we don't really have clear zoning within our code on that type of activity.
So now we're opening up
for the well or the transporting?
Both.
So you're looking at an intense use that's occurring in zoning other than commercial. So you have traffic associated, you have potentially dust, you have all these other potential impacts that would typically go through a secret process that should be within an industrial zone.
That's waste of water.
So we have at least two different issues here. S is dealing with putting a liquid in a small container and sealing it versus taking a liquid out of the ground, putting it in a large container, and transporting it. Not necessarily bottling it,
right.
It's being transported.
Yeah. And the same would hold true with your bottling works, right? Because ultimately it's going to go to market somewhere. It's
correct. One is bulk delivery, still in volume and not packaged. The other is a packaged liquid on pallets and transported individually.
It's being done right now.
Yeah. No, I get that, but I'm trying to get to guide. Okay, we've got two issues here. One is like Pepsi bottling, Mount Shasta bottling, Crystal Geyser. The other is water tankers filling out of an ag well, running out into the country. There are two issues.
That's what Crystal Geyser is doing right now.
For reference,
the state's giving the water away on a monthly basis.
In bottles.
In bottles.
Yes. No. We have it in bottles coming from a bottling works. We also have bulk water going in unlicensed.
We're splitting hairs here.
Right. But
still the same concept.
For reference, we had the project, if you recall, down in Dunsmuir with Dr. Srivastava.
Yes.
Where initially he wanted to do a bottling works type scenario. And later shifted gears to transporting water from that location in bulk out of county to
another location.
Gotcha. So that's an industrial use required him to go down the road of changing his zoning in order to have that facility there. It never did come to fruition.
Right.
So there's a lot of opposition to it, but same concept.
And so the guys that have a water truck to work on the forest for dust abatement and are they in that category?
But I would say not.
Because
it's incidental, it's one off, it's not a concentrated location with multiple.
That's written into a permit as a mitigation for something that's occurring. That's where I would say that it's different. It's dust abatement through a permit, whether it's a THP or a use permit.
Yeah. Similar if you're hauling stock water to animals.
Because the city of Mount Shasta has, at times, put a meter on a hydrant, and the operator or the person that is buying the water has a device to, they fill their truck up and it registers the gallons and blah, 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 the date and all that time. That happened 4 or 5 years ago. I don't know that they're doing it now because I don't see anything on the hydrant. Of course, I don't look at all the hydrants either. But.
Yeah. And that's all coming off of the municipal.
That was our water. Yes, it was a municipal water system.
Yeah.
But they were paying for it, whoever was using it.
So that's where we potentially could have two different paths here that we need to address. One is the water the source. Is the source of the water via a municipal, unincorporated source? Or is it a source on AG1, AG2?
Well,
does
the,
it matter?
The zoning, the source should not matter. It's the activity that's occurring at a higher level.
Okay.
It has impacts, you know, environmental impacts not addressed, or that should occur in an industrial zone versus a residential zone.
Okay, so now if we focus it down a little bit further and get Commissioner Hart's thoughts on this, if what I'm hearing Mr. Dean and Mr. Carroll hypothetically put out there, they are looking, correct me if I'm wrong, the activity of transporting water from location A to location X should require a use permit.
And I would not limit it to water, right? It's some commodity. So it's a distribution center.
My ranch, I'm distributing hay.
Yes, you are.
Are you
You're
saying
agriculturally zoned?
Okay, well, water from an agricultural zoning, where do we differentiate? That's a slippery slope.
Didn't they lose a lawsuit for taking, wasn't it approved in Siskiyou County that they were improperly transporting water, and then it went to appeal, and they...
Well, they got a waiver. They got a waiver for human health and safety for the transport. That was, but what we're talking about is the actual activity of pumping water out of the ground into a truck, and then that truck taking that water to another location for disbursement. That's what, if I'm hearing you, that you believe should require a use permit, and that may give us a tool. Is that what I'm hearing?
In a sense, however, we're looking at activity occurring in a specific zone district, right? So, for example, you're in rural residential, you have your home, your neighbor decides to utilize whatever commodity it is on a daily basis that's hauled in via truck, in and out. Maybe 50 trucks show up, pick up something and leave. That activity with that traffic is an impact in a rural residential zone. It should not be there. It should be in a different zone.
Okay, so you're not, you're including the loading as well as the offloading.
It's the activity.
The activity itself, in part, from load to unload, that activity is causing wear and tear
on infrastructure.
So essentially,
a distribution system, regardless of the commodity, should be in an elevated zone, such as industrial, light industrial, not rural residential, not AG2 or AG1.
Through the chair, you have a well, chair foul. Can you sell the water out of that well to another person?
No. No. I'd be breaking the law.
Interesting.
That water is adjudicated for the parcels for which that water is assigned. I have specifically surveyed fields where that water can be applied.
That's why I asked you, because I know you have one of those automatic sprinkler things and all that. We were out by your house the other day.
I know. Everybody here is venturing into water line. Nobody in this room is a water line.
Yeah, I think the main issue is that there's some actual uses in the county where that's occurring. And now would be a good time, as we're doing the zoning update, that if we are going to address that type of use, to figure out where it should be and what type of permitting should occur.
So, could you please enlighten us? This is just my understanding, that the county has jurisdiction of groundwater. You have a right to use groundwater. It's a conjunctive use. You can use as much as you can for beneficial use. Beneficial use is not really defined other than how can you pump how many hundred thousands of gallons of water out of a 1 acre parcel and put the beneficial use on that parcel. To define beneficial use means under conjunctive use, you cannot harm your neighbor. And that's kind of a big broad landscape deal. So we're venturing down this road and we have no business going down that road. But since the county does have jurisdiction over groundwater, they've taken that with the county flood control district, with the GSP, that needs to be defined and adjudicated at some point down the road here. The whole system needs to be adjudicated, preparing an appropriate and conjunctive groundwater before we solve what we're trying to get done here. I know where you want to go with it, and I agree with you 1,000%, but I don't know that we can legally get there.
And that would be my question.
And not put the county in jeopardy of doing something.
That's why you have to take the water out of the equation. It's the activity that's occurring.
Yep.
Does it rise to an industrial commercial level?
Right. How do you corral that? Get everybody.
Yeah, the water rights and all that conversation.
Doesn't belong here.
That is best handled through the GSAs, GSPs.
Yeah.
You're simply talking about an activity.
Right. Yep.
And that's where I say it's a slippery slope, because if you're talking volume in size or weight, that ends up looping in agricultural goods. If you're talking about trips, then maybe the ag portion doesn't even enter into it. I'll send out 16 semi-trucks every 6 months. Okay.
So as zoning is right 60 now,
water trucks every week.
Say zoning is right now, under accessory uses, you hauling hay off of your
property. That's accessory.
It's accessory to agriculture.
Okay. So we're talking non-ag activity. So the location of loading, as well as the location of distribution, zoning, heavy industrial or industrial of some kind, would be appropriate, which then would account for trips. Yay? Nay?
Get more.
Yeah. Shall we take a lunch break and think on this?
Yes.
The claim is, well, we're just farmers, it's an agricultural use on a rural residential property. So how many trips can you go if it's agriculture? That's what you're talking about, a truck, a cattle truck, whatever.
Yeah.
I know where you want to go, I agree, I'm just trying to figure out
the question is how.
Yeah, how.
How.
And how is it enforced?
Okay, so it is currently 12:25. How long do we want to take for lunch?
35 minutes.
Is that enough? Yeah. I'll just get the pharmacy to get something for lunch and get back here.
45?
You start without me, I'll get back here.
You want 45?
You start whenever. I'll get here when they get
here. We will, I'll tell you what, we will reconvene at 1:10. Very good. Okay.
So Peter and I have to